For. Father, we thank you, Lord, this morning for your grace, your mercy, and your love. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' precious name, that you are God, and we are your children. Father, we bless you this morning. We praise you and give you glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Have your way here this morning. Father, we pray that you'd open the eyes of our understanding. Father, I pray this morning that those who are here have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. And I pray, Father God, you would open their hearts to receive the engrafted word, Father, deep within their heart, to produce a fruit of life that is not only pleasing to you, but pleasing to them. That they can find, Father, a hope that they have not seen or have not experienced in a long time. And they can see, Father, into the future. And knowing, Father, as they follow the path you have set before them, that it leads into a good future. We thank you for that. In the mighty name of Jesus. And all God's children said, amen. Amen. I would not be a Christian following Christ if I did not believe that he had a purpose and a plan for my life that far exceeds anything I could do myself. He brings me into place. He takes me place. He does things with my life. He shows me things, talks to me. I don't mean, no, God talks to you.
Amen.
Amen. You don't have to be drunk to believe that. But the more you're in the Spirit, the drunker you become, the more you hear his voice. He said, don't be drunk in excess of wine, but be drunk in the Spirit.
Yes. Yes.
That means you're so filled with the Spirit that it's hard to even stand up. Been there, done that. Good stuff. Hey, look who's here. Alex is here, everybody. Yay, Alex. He stopped by to get a haircut. Praise God. Just came from work. Did you bring a steak? Ah, man. Well, we're glad you're here anyways. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, that was good. Gotcha. All right. Hebrews 4, verse 1. Hallelujah. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, there is a promise to enter into his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. If there is a rest in God, in Christ, we don't want to miss it. I'm getting a back feed or a feedback or something to that extent. Something's happening that I don't like. Okay, please? Thank you. I can talk to him that way too. See? Thank you, William. All right. So there's a rest. Now, we've been doing this for a number of weeks now. I want to go through a few of the rests that are in the scriptures that we can look at and see where we're at today. What the one that I'm talking about today is not any that I'm going to give you at first. It's something else. Ready? So the first rest that we can look at is the time when they, in Exodus, when God was trying to get them into the promised land. And he promised them a rest when they got there. Rest from what? Rest from all the pressures of life. Rest from being under the bondage of life. And protection. God has told them, when you get into this place, nobody's going to come against you. Nobody's going to be able to take anything from you. So it was protection and provision that God was providing for them. Then there was a rest, which in Psalm 95, that David wrote about. And David was saying, there's a rest today. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in a few minutes. There's the Sabbath rest. This rest is the rest from our labors. It is the rest which is the key rest, and that's what's critical. We lost that. I remember when I was growing up, stores were closed on Sunday. Businesses were closed as best they could. Hospitals and, you know, places like that. But other places were closed. You couldn't go to the store on Sunday because it was deemed the Sabbath rest. People had to rest. Your body needs a day of rest. God created it that way, and you need to have it. Amen? So don't try and go 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Sooner or later, your body will give out. That's just a fact. Well, that's a negative. No, it isn't. God created the Sabbath rest for man to get a day of rest. Amen? All right. The next one, salvation rest, a resting from works in an effort to earn God's favor. In other words, religion says you've got to earn your way to God. God says, I will come to you. So there's a rest. We don't have to work at it anymore. We just accept God's grace, and we receive it by faith, and say, by the blood of Jesus Christ, we have been cleansed of all our sins, and we are saved, and our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Praise God. You don't have to work at being a Christian. The world wants us to do that. The world forces us, or tries to force us, to act a certain way to prove we're saved. I've told you before, I don't have to prove that to anybody. You want proof? Jesus died on the cross, was buried in a tomb, and came out and rose on the third day and ascended and seated at the right hand of the Father. I'm seated with him. There's your proof. I don't have to prove you nothing. I have to prove the world nothing. God proved it by getting his son out of the grave and bringing him up there and seated him right next to him. Amen. And because he lives, I live also.
Amen.
Amen. I don't have to have proof other than that. Amen. So I'm at rest with that. I'm at peace with that. I'm resting in that fact. Amen. All right. There's the eternal rest we're all going to get to. Yay, 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 yay. We're all going to heaven. And we're going to be at peace and at rest for all. No more tears, no more sickness, no more anything bad. Oh, that's just pie in the sky, yeah, yeah, and all that, and that sounds good and all that. Well, that's as true to me as it is that I'm saved. I don't have to prove that to anybody either. I just accept the fact. He's coming back, taking me home to be with him for all eternity. Well, you can't prove that. Well, you can't prove things either, but you still believe in them. You can't prove that the earth rotates around the sun. Can you prove it? We want to. You can't. There's certain things in life we just can't prove, but we accept them as fact. Amen? That's a fact. Jesus said, I'm going home and build a mansion for you. And when it's time, I'm taking you home to be with me, and you're going to live for all eternity with me. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I don't have to build a mansion when I get there. It's already built for me. Hallelujah. All right, and the last one. Well, not the last one. The next to the last one. Sanctification rest. Sanctification just means setting yourself aside for God. In other words, religion gives you a list of do's and don'ts. You can't do this, you can't do that. You can't do this, you can't do that. With God, he did it. It says that his shed blood had washed me of all unrighteousness and brought me in right standing with my heavenly Father. Jesus dealt with my sins once and for all. Matter of fact, he says that he became my sin and I became his righteousness.
Amen.
I became it. Automatically, just happened. I just accepted. So there are different rests. But I want to take you to a rest that I believe that God wanted me to bring it to you. And this is the one I call, and we talked about it a moment ago, today's rest. Today's rest. This is what I wrote about it. Today's rest that enables us to be free from fear, cares and worries of everyday living. Knowing that our needs will be met today, whatever the need is, living a life totally at rest in our Father's loving arms. Totally be free from the cares and the worries and the fears of life. When you're free of all that, you're at rest and at peace. Well, you know, you can't, everybody can't be, you're human. Yes, you can be. Jesus came to earth as a human. You can find a peace that passes understanding, a peace so great that you can fall asleep and rest in the midst of the storm of life. Because you know who he is, and you know your relationship to him and where you stand right now. Resting in Christ does not mean, and this is what really gets to you, you know, I think they're well-meaning, but they're really not meaning well. They say this, well, I just leave it in God's hands. You don't get rest from that. You don't get peace from that. God never told you to give it all back to Him and just forget about it. He said, turn all your cares over to Him. For what? For He cares for you. But you've got to do the turning over. There's a distinction. Let me share Matthew. Go into Matthew 11 with me. Matthew 11. See, this is the key to living a life of a Christian in such a way that tomorrow you have as much hope as you have today. Matter of fact, you expect something better tomorrow than you have today. And I'm not talking about things. I am talking about a rest, a peace that passes all understanding. How is it possible that you can keep that faith and that trust in God when all this stuff is going wrong in your life? And you can. I want to wait till the end. I'm going to share something with you. I think you'll be blessed by it. Okay. Matthew 11, verse 28. We're going to start there. Jesus speaking, because how do I know that? Because it's in red. Obviously, the words were washed in His blood. That's why they're all red. Now, come on. You guys have laugh. All right. Come to Me. That means you got to do something. Every promise of God is conditional. Amen? What He said, you can't enter rest unless you have faith and trust in Him that His promises will come to pass. So there's a condition to it. If it wasn't conditional, everybody could enter into that rest. But it isn't. It's for His children to enter into. Well, everybody's a child of God. Not so. And John, what did he say? All right, stay there. I'll take you over there. John 1. Chapter 1, verse, I'm going to read it exactly as it is, so you know that it's coming out of the Bible. Verse 12, but as many as received Him, meaning Jesus Christ, to them He, meaning God the Father, gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in His name. Not everybody's a child of God, but those who put their faith and trust in the holy name of Jesus. Acknowledge His death, burial, and resurrection. Amen? I know that's religious, not very religious, but it's truth. Okay, back to Matthew 11. Come to Me, all you who labor, are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn from Me, for I am gentle, lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For My yoke is easy and My burden is light. Rest for your souls. What is your soul? Mind, will, emotions, everything inside of you that causes you to be who you are. You are made up of spirit, soul, and body. Your spirit is eternal. Your soul is eternal. When this body ceases to function, your spirit and your soul will escape this body. Will enter in to heavenly places with Christ if you're His child. If you're not, it'll enter into someplace else you don't want to think about. Amen? Okay. So, what's He saying? I'm going to give rest for your soul. Why? Because the biggest battle that goes on every day of the week is your soulish realm, your mind, your thoughts. The battle's running right up here, man. You know what God says, but this is what I see, this is what I hear, this is what I feel. All of that, it's all real. Yes, it is real. But there's something. Remember we talked about facts and knowledge. There's facts which is true. There are true facts. Yes, yes, I am sick. Yes, true, that is true. There is sickness in this body. But, and I want to correct something I just said. Ready for this? It said, I said this, yes, yes, my sick, and then I said sickness in the body. You, who are made up of spirit and soul and live in a body, you are not sick. Amen. Your body is.
Amen.
Right? You're not sick, because if you're born again, if you're washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, you can't get sick. Your body can get sick. And the body is just like a car. You drive your car and everything works fine, and all of a sudden something goes wrong. What do? You take it to get it fixed. Does that mean you're sick because you drive the car? No. You're not sick because you drive the car. The car's sick. That's got a problem. The body is nothing more than a vehicle to get you around in this atmosphere down here. That's all that God gave you a body for, so you're able to exist on this planet. For without a body, you can't exist on this planet. You have no power. Look, the devil can't do anything unless he can get somebody to do it for him. What you have going on in the world today, all around the United States today, as a matter of fact, every place, I don't care where you go, the enemy's running rampant. Why? Because people are fearful that they can't find a place for where they want it, their things to be done. So what do we have? We have battles going on between it. How do I know that? Look, turn to James with me. Look at this. How many of you know God knew all this stuff before it happened? Before you were born, God already figured out what your life was going to be like. And so he said to you, and he said before the foundation of this world, he said before all eternity, he said, I'm going to make a way for them that they didn't have outside of me to find peace and a rest in their life here. So God already provided everything for you. You already got it. It's just a matter of you getting to a fact to change your way of thinking and the way of doing your life, which will transform you into that very presence of God in your life. It'll change everything. It'll transform you. Because if you can get rest for your soul, you'll find rest and peace in this life. Look what he said in James 4. Verse 1. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? What's he saying? Problem between a husband and wife is always that one wants something and the other doesn't want to do it. So rather than being at rest with each other, they fight and argue and complain and murmur to the point where they get a divorce and they just separate. Or the other one stops being a husband and just gives in to the wife. Or the wife stops being a wife and gives in to the husband. And what happens? There's no rest. There's always a battle in their minds against each other. And pretty soon that'll become hatred. And hatred will bring in separation and division. There's a battle going on in the world today. Everybody wants their own thing. Listen to what he says. I just want what I want. You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. He's not talking about going out and shooting somebody. You can covet somebody by hating your brother and sister in Christ. You can murder somebody with your mind and your words. Hallelujah. But that's not us. I'm just giving you examples so you can think about it. You lust and do not have, you murder and covet and cannot obtain, you fight in war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. So we got a war going on between us and fighting and arguing and carrying on and fighting and I want what I want and you don't want to do what I want to do and you won't give me what I want to have. And all this stuff goes on. And there's no rest. Instead of the house and the family and a home being a place of sanctuary and a place where you can get away from the madness out there, it becomes a total war zone out there and here, whether it be the church or the home. We lose so much opportunity. God never intended that for us. God intended that we have a rest and a peace in this life today. And this is an everyday thing. This isn't a one-time thing. It's an everyday thing. Every day God looks on our lives and says, you don't have to go there. See, that being a Christian isn't about how you believe Jesus Christ just died on the cross and all. Yes, all of that gets you in the door. But being a Christian is letting everything else just take authority over your life. All of His promises, all of His blessings, all. Listen to me. Jesus said it this way. When they wanted Jesus to destroy the people who were following, He said, you want us to call down fire from heaven? And He said, you don't know what spirit you're of. I did not come to destroy. I came to give you life and give it to you more abundantly. I want you to be blessed in coming and going in every area of your life. But most of all, when you lay your head down at night, I want you to get a rest, a peace. That you're looking forward to tomorrow. Not regretting it, not looking and thinking to yourself, oh man, this is going to be too... He doesn't want that for your life. He doesn't want that for your life. He wants you to find a place in Him, in Christ, where you can live a life of peace and joy and actually enjoy the day. Actually enjoy the day and look forward to tomorrow. Today is just not just today. Tomorrow it's going to be better than today. Hallelujah. We look at this and we see what God says. He warns us, and we just read it in James chapter 4. Look, give me one more scripture dealing in that area. 1 John, go there with me. I'm going to read it out of the Amplified. I have printed it out of the Amplified. 1 John 2, 15 through 17. Do not love or cherish the world or the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, craving for sensual gratification, the lust of the eyes, greedy longings of the mind, and the pride of life, assurance in one's own resources or in the stability of earthly things, do not come from the Father, but are of the world itself. And the world passes away and disappears. And with it, the forbidden cravings, the passionate desires, the lust of it. But he who does the will of God and carries out his purpose in his life abides and remains forever. What a blessing. What a blessing. Does that mean God doesn't want you to have things? We've talked about this a million times. It isn't true. God doesn't mind you having things. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us He gave us this earth to enjoy in the things of this world. We can enjoy these things. You can enjoy what you have. But don't let it be your source of enjoyment. Amen? What He said was, He said when they came back and He said all the demons were subject to us, He said don't rejoice that they were subject, but rejoice that your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. If you're going to go out and enjoy the things of this world, make sure that you always have in the forefront of your mind, look what the Lord has done. Look how He's blessed me. Look how, and let others know. This is from the Lord. He's blessed me. This is from the Lord. And don't ever let that interfere with your path that God has you on. If it's a choice, I was listening to Jesse Duplantis the other day. I like old Jesse. He's pretty cool. And he was talking about God had given him a motorcycle. Oh, and he loved that motorcycle. He just loved that motorcycle. Special motorcycle, worth a lot of money. Somebody gave it to him. So, just opening a door for you. Giving you ideas. No, I don't want a motorcycle. My wife won't let me ride it. Anyways. And he's got a motorcycle, and he's enjoying it. He's having a lot of fun. Then all of a sudden, God started speaking to him about the motorcycle. And he started realizing something, that the motorcycle became more Let me say it this way. The motorcycle became bigger than God. Because all he could think about was the motorcycle. If you got something in your life that all you can think about is that, and God is second to anything, that becomes an idol. Be careful. So anyways, he said one day, he finally came to the conclusion. He said, okay, Father, I give to you that motorcycle. It's yours. You do with it as you want. I'll do whatever you tell me to do. I'll do whatever you tell me to do. And that's what he did. He gave it to the Father and said, it's yours. When he did that, he was free from the bondage of having this thing so important to him. And he realized how greatly that had overshadowed his relationship with Jesus. He couldn't see it until he gave it to God because it covered his eyes. There's things in our life that we can't see until we give it to God because it's so important to us. It just keeps us a reason. Why do we want to be free of that? Because we understand that I need to have rest because that motorcycle became so important. Now all of a sudden you worry about somebody crashing into it. You worry about somebody stealing it. You worry about keeping it, you know, perfectly in good order. And he's always polishing it and always rubbing it down, making it look pretty and all this stuff. And all of a sudden it became something so great. He stopped losing rest. He stopped enjoying the motorcycle like he should, as a blessing from God. As I was doing this final one, the Lord brought me to this place, so I'm going to go here. Go with me to Psalms 23. You want to find rest for your soul. You want to find rest. Psalm 23 will bring you to that place when you understand. Verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd. And this is out of the Amplified. To feed, guide, and shield me, I shall not lack. The Lord is my shepherd. So in other words, he's saying this. He's not just my Savior. He didn't just save me. But because he did save me, I confess he's my Lord. What's Lord mean? Master. He's my master. My master. So I have a Savior, I have a Lord, and I have a shepherd. Why? Not only is my master, which I had to submit to and obey, he also leads me in the path to rest. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and the voice of a stranger they'll not follow. So if to me it says this, if I am saved, I have to be willing to allow him to be my Lord, my master, and obey him in whatever he says for me to do, scripturally, spiritually. And if that's so, I know that if I want to find rest, I have to follow him. I can't find it on my own. When the sheep start going out on their own, they usually end up in front of a group of wolves. But when you allow the Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus Christ, to guide you, he will bring you to a place where you shall not lack any good thing. Think about that. Why would you fear? Why would you carry cares and worries if you're being led by the good shepherd and he promised to bring you beside still waters, by green pastures? In other words, he's going to meet all your needs if you will follow him. If you know that you're following the good shepherd and he will meet all your needs, can't you then be at rest and at peace? Because let's face it, we just read in James, why don't you have? Because there's always arguing and fighting and complaining because you're not getting what you want. You will never get what you want. Listen to me, hear me. I don't care if the Democrats get a Democrat Congress and Democrat, president, they'll never get what all they want. They'll never be satisfied. They'll never find rest. They'll have a temporary rest. I don't care if they're Republican. Well, they got it all now. Do you see any rest in them? No. You can get all you want out there. Will never bring rest in here. Ever. Because the nature of man is always to want more. And if it takes fighting and arguing to get their way, they'll do whatever it takes. That's a natural born person. Every natural born person, same way. Well, I'm not that. Yes, you are. My wife tells me sometimes I used to be passive aggressive. You know what passive aggressive is? Oh, I don't verbally complain, but I make sure they know just how I feel. Nobody like that in here. I know that. Amen? Oh, they'll know. They'll know. My wife says, I know when you're mad at me. I didn't say anything. It doesn't matter. You don't need to say anything. But I'll guarantee you this. I may act peaceful outwardly, but inwardly I'm still fighting a good fight. Amen? And you're not finding rest. We've talked about this. We've been talking about it for weeks, about denying self and picking up your cross. How many times do you get in an argument with somebody since we started talking about this? Trying to get your way. Yep. Trying to get your way. And I don't care how you do it, whether openly or inwardly or whatever. You withhold certain things from people. I just won't hold their hand. I just won't talk to them. I just ignore them. You're not at peace. You're not at rest. You're not. The only one who gets hurt is us. We've got to find a way to be at rest within Christ, in Christ, not in ourselves. We can't do this ourselves. That's why you've got to be led by the good shepherd. What did he say? He makes me lie down. Isn't that cool? He makes me lie down. In fresh, tender, green pastures, he leads me beside the still and restful waters. Do you ever sit by a brook that's just babbling? I used to love to do that. It used to be a stream. When I was growing up, I was a kid, I'd take my fishing pole down there, and there's a little stream, little trout in it. And I'd take whatever I had. Usually it was a Japanese beetle, and I'd put it on my hook and throw it into the water. Then I'd just lay back, put my hand behind my head, and look up at the sun and fall asleep. That was nice, quiet brook, just quietly moving. What a peace that brings. In my office at home, I've got a thing up on the wall. And you turn it on, it's a light with a babbling brook and all this sweet music behind there. There's something that has to come to finally get rid of this up here. Let me go on. He refreshes, restores my life, or myself. He leads me into paths of righteousness, uprightness, and right standing with him, not for my earning it, but for his name's sake. Yes, though I walk through the deep, sunless valley of the shadow of death, I will fear or dread no evil. Even at that moment of passing from this life to the next, we're not going to be fearful. We're not going to be upset. We're going to be at rest. For you are with me. Your rod protect and your staff to guide, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My brimming cup runs over. Surely only goodness, mercy, and unfailing love shall follow me all the days of my life. And through the length of my days, the house of the Lord and his presence shall be my dwelling place. Glory to God. Don't you want that? That's what God wants for you. That's God's will for your life. You enter into a place of complete rest and peace in him, in Christ. How do we get there? What did we say before? Lord, lead me into the pathway to peace and rest in you. You lead me, Lord. You're my shepherd. I'm your sheep. I'll follow you wherever you lead me. When the nation of Israel refused to go into the promised land, God said their heart had turned hard. And he said they did not know my ways. That ways is the path. That's the path that you follow. How do you follow it? If you're a child of God, you follow it by the Word of God. And you follow it by the Spirit of God. And you just follow. Well, how do I know it's the right way? Because the Spirit of God will keep you on the straight path if you will follow Him. The Word of God will reveal truth to you. You'll know. You will know the transformation. What I said at the beginning of this morning, all is well. Remember that? I said, say that. Every time a negative thought comes, why? 2 Kings chapter 4. I'm almost done here. Boy, you guys are getting out early. Whoa! We do have communion yet, though. Praise God. Are you ready? We talked about this. So I'm going to read it because I got a little time. I'm going to read a little bit. Don't fall asleep on me. Amen? I want to get to a place and I want you to hear what's going on here. I'm starting in verse 8, 2 Kings 4, 8. Now it happened one day that Elisha, the prophet of God, went to the Shunem where there was a notable woman, and she persuaded him to eat some food. So it was, as often as he passed by, he would turn in there to eat some food. So the man of God, the prophet of God, was walking through the area. The woman saw him and said, come on in, I'll feed you. Amen? Come on in, I'm going to serve you. Now listen. And she said to her husband, look now, praise God for godly women. Amen? Godly women many times keep their husband on the path they should be going. I believe there's a special blessing and reward for women who are married to Christian men, and they just keep pressing in, keep encouraging them, keep pressing into, keep going, go, serve the Lord, serve the Lord, serve the Lord. Because there's blessings that come with service. Blessings. Listen to me. How do I know that? Because the Bible says a man who gives a glass of water to a prophet gets a prophet's reward. So as you encourage, there's a reward coming. Amen? Hallelujah. Trust me. And she said to her husband, look now, I know that this is a holy man of God who passes by us regularly. Please let us make a small upper room on the wall and let us put a bed for him there and a table and a chair and a lampstand so it will be whenever he comes to us, he can turn in there. Now, not only was she feeding him, now I want to go extend it even farther. I'm going to build a room for him that if he comes this way, he's going to have to find a place where he can lay down and take a nap if he needs to. Amen? I mean, you know God had already prepared this for him. You know, God, when you're serving God, God already makes preparation. I remember when we walked on the property where we live, I said to Diane, I turned to her, honest truth, I said, God just told me he gave us this before the foundation of the world. God had already blessed us with that before I even came to know Christ as my Savior. Isn't that awesome? There are blessings, there are promises that you have already, God had prepared for you. He set aside specifically for you. Specifically for each and every one of you. Things that maybe I wouldn't care one hoot about. But to you, it's important you'd love it. God's already promised it and he's already given it to you. When you serve him, he will never reject you or stop giving you the blessings that you deserve to have in Christ, not in yourself. All right. And verse 11, and it happened one day that he came there and he turned into the upper room and lay down there. Then he said to Gehazi, his servant, call this Shunammite woman. when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said to him, say now to her, look, you have been concerned for us with all this care. In other words, you've been serving God by taking care of us. What can I do for you? Do you want me to speak on your behalf to the king or to the commander of the army? She answered, I dwell among my own people. In other words, I'm not a slave under all the authority over me. They're not abusing me. Don't worry, I'm all taken care of in that respect. So in other words, she didn't have any protection she needed. She did not have any provision she needed. Her husband was quite wealthy. She was receiving all the things she needed in the world. Listen, let's go on. So he said, what then is there to be done for her? He's talking to his Gehazi, his servant. And Gehazi answered, actually, she has no son, and her husband is old. So he said, call her. When he had called her, she stood in the doorway. Then he said, about this time next year, you shall embrace a son. And she said, no, my Lord, man of God, do not lie to your maidservant. But the woman conceived, bore a son, when the appointed time had come of which Elisha had told her. Now listen, the child grew. In other words, he grew up, he's getting a little bit older. Now it happened one day that he went out to his father to the reapers. In other words, he went out into the harvest fields. And he said to his father, my head, my head. All of a sudden he got a headache. So he said to his servant, carry him to his mother. Some father. Get the servant. I'm not going to take time off from what I'm doing. That's what I told you about godly women. That guy could have passed by that house 100 times, and that man would never have thought of feeding him. I'm a man, and I'm saying it. There's a blessing that comes from godly women. They have a nurturing heart. That's why what goes on out there in the world today where children are concerned is an abomination. God did not create women to kill their babies. He created them to nurture them. It's a natural instinct of woman. And when you take that and turn it from truth, from what God created, it's an abomination. Amen? Let me go on. I don't know how I got there, but let me go anyways. Verse 19, and he said to his father, my head, my head. He carried him to his mother. When he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. So the child died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, shut the door upon him, and went out. Then she called to her husband and said, please send me one of the young men and one of the donkeys, that I may run to the man of God and come back. So he said, why are you going? Drives me nuts. Listen to this. So he said, why are you going to him today? It is neither the new moon nor the Sabbath. And she said, it is well. In other words, a lot of people, why are you reading your Bible today? It's not Sunday. Amen? Why are you praying today? It's not Sunday. You don't have to pray just because you have a need. You can pray just because he's God. And you're his child. So you want to talk to your father. So you talk to him. Amen? This guy, come on. Anyways, praise God. Let me get back into. What did she say? All is well. Then go on. Where are we? Verse 22. Then she called to her. Oh, she already got there. 23. So he said, why are you... Oh, I already said that. She says, it is well. Then she saddled a donkey, said to her servant, drive and go forward. Do not slacken the pace for me unless I tell you. And so she departed and went to the man of God at Mount Carmel. So it was when the man of God saw her afar off that he said to his servant Gehazi, go, look, the Shunammite woman, please run now to her and say to her, is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with your child? And she answered, it is well. The child is laying in the bed at home, dead. But she refused to give life to that death. There's things in our lives. You want peace? You want peace? Don't give voice to those things that can cause you death. Death in what? In faith. In your faith. I mean, there's messages all through here I can bring to you. Now let's go on. Wait a minute. We're almost done here. Hallelujah. Now when she came to the man of God at the hill, she caught him by the feet, but Gehazi came near to push her away, but the man of God said, "Let her alone, for her soul is in deep distress." Yeah. Her soul was in deep distress. She wasn't pretending that she wasn't. She had all that stuff going on up in her mind about the child and about this and about that. But she didn't give anything, any life to it. This is what he said. "And the Lord has hidden it from me and has not told me." So she said, "Did I ask a son, my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me?" Then he said to Gehazi, and he goes on and talks to her. And what happens is the child's restored to life. What I want to get to you is this. The key to arrest is speaking what God says, not what you feel, not what you think, not what you want, what God said. What does that do? It brings a rest. Even in the midst when your mind is all these things are going on, all these thoughts are coming, you refuse to listen to that junk. The Bible actually says to cast down vain imaginations that exalt themselves above the knowledge of God. Bring every thought into captivity to Christ Jesus. There you want rest for your soul. There you want rest. You want true rest today? You can have all the money in the world. Ain't going to bring you peace and rest. You can have everything you want out there. Everything you can go and do, whatever you want to do, it won't bring you rest and peace. Every time you go someplace, do something. Oh, I'm going to go do this. Yeah, you know what it is? You know why I know the difference? It's because it only brings you rest when you're doing that thing. That temporal. I know, I used to do it. I used to do drugs. I used to do alcohol. I used to do all that stuff. And it brought me that temporal rest. And that I didn't think about all that stuff out here anymore. I was able to hide behind all that mask. But I found a place in Christ where I can find a rest. Am I perfect in all that way? No, but I'm being perfected. I'm getting to that place where I can find a peace and a rest. When the Lord Jesus Christ, and you allow him to be your shepherd, to guide you and to lead you, he'll bring you into a place of rest and peace. A place of provision. A place of protection. Pretty soon you're not concerned what others think, say, or do. All you want to do is stay close to the shepherd because he's the one that leads you into those places of great rest. This week, when you're tempted to put voice to the negative things, when you're ready to, all is well. All is well. As you continue to do that, eventually, you're going to see not only God moving in your life, but you're going to see you at perfect rest because you can trust him that he said, all is well. Let me see if I can find it real quick. Stay with me for one more second, then we're done. We're going to have communion. Let me see. I'm looking. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm looking. Don't go away. Don't leave me. Hallelujah. Okay. I'm going to find it. And I will give it to you before we're done here. But I don't want to hold up the rest of it. Thank you, Lord. All right. Yeah. There it is. Thank you. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10 says this, "But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever." Are you going to go through some struggles? We've talked about this before. Denying self and picking up your cross, it is one of the hardest things in the world you want to do. You're going to want to go just the opposite way. You want to defend yourself. You want to make sure that you get your point across. You want to make sure you get your way. You want to make sure, but it doesn't lead to perfect rest. There's a struggle going to go on between your flesh and the Spirit of God in you. There'll be that battle where I'm rip and tear, and it's going to be suffering for a while. But then God is going to step in. Then he's going to restore. He's going to bring you to a place of steadiness, a place where you know you can trust your God, because whatever you ask for, your Heavenly Father will do exactly as you ask according to his will. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads. Father, in Jesus' name, we give you thanks, Lord, today. We thank you, Father, for this beautiful day, for it is a day that you have made, and we are rejoicing and we are glad to be in and be part of your day. Father, we ask now in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth that the seed that was sown this morning into the heart of each and every one that's here this morning, that it would produce a great fruit of peace and rest in Christ. Father, I pray for those who may be here who don't know Christ. They know about him, but they never really tasted of the goodness of their God. I pray now, Father, in Jesus' precious name, open the eyes of their understanding, that they would recognize that in themselves there is no hope, but in Christ all things are possible. That they would look and see, Father God, and acknowledge that their only hope in this life is in Christ. And as they humbly confess with their mouth and with all humility can believe in their heart that Jesus Christ of Nazareth actually died on the cross just for them. Just for them. It was buried in a tomb. And you rose him up out of the grave and accepted his sacrifice for their sins, Lord God. That they would be filled with the joy of the Lord, knowing that when the day comes, Father, when the day comes, they'll enter into your glorious presence. Pray today, Father. You remove every blind eye, the every blindness that causes blind eyes to the truth. You open the ears of the deaf, Father, they may hear the truth and receive the gift of life through Christ Jesus. And Father, for those maybe who've been away and kind of getting farther and farther away from the truth, I pray for restoration. Return them to your glorious presence. Reach out with your loving arm and grab a hold of them. Show them how much you love them. Tell them how much you love them. Let them know that you care for them. And entice them to come back to a closer walk with you. We thank you, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. Spirit of the living God, have your way. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you. Hallelujah. Okay, we're going to have communion if you want to get ready. And, I'm sorry, Brenda. Yes, I'm sorry. I saw my wife pointing, but I didn't know. Here, you want to give that to me?
The Lord just wants me to address a sensitive issue before the kids come in, and, you know, with regard to Mother's Day, just to kind of address, you know, there's people, I'll take the biggest holidays, Christmas, Thanksgiving, Mother's Day, Father's Day, whatever, you know, there's people out there that they actually mourn on those days. And I'm not saying, you know, people that are joyful should mourn or anything, but there are people that mourn on those days for whatever reason. And I won't tell you my whole story, but the Lord's just wanting to relay to somebody here that it might help that, you know, whether it's mourning because, you know, your mom is gone, your grandparents are gone, whatever, your grandmothers, or that you lost a child, or that, you know, you had an abortion, and I'm not saying that abortion is what people should do, but if it happened, and that's the reason that you mourn, any of those reasons that, you know, the Lord, I struggled tremendously with Mother's Day, I mean, to the point where I just wanted to burst out in tears, and I could not really tell anybody what the situation was, and the Lord has healed me. There is no doubt over the course of time that he's healed me, but I had to kind of allow that healing to come in, and I had to allow, like you said, his rest and his peace, and I really had to turn it over to him. And when I think of how I used to be, where I would literally want to be sitting here in tears, and where I am today, the Lord has no doubt healed me in that respect. And, you know, it's a sensitive issue when you're talking about children and things like that. But, you know, it gets to a point where you have to accept whatever happened, whatever the situation is that you're mourning over, but then you have to open up for the healing, and that's what he wants to get across today.
We don't live in those things. We live in Christ, and you can't overcome those obstacles on your own. I've known people who've mourned for 30, 40 years, never got past it. And it's difficult as a human being to be able to get past that loss or that missing part or whatever you want to call it. But in Christ, Jesus has a working in us that's amazing. His Word and the Spirit of God in us. He deals things with things. I can remember, and I've said this to you before, but some may not have heard it maybe, when Christopher had passed, our son, and I was going to the graveyard all the time. I'd cry every day, 6 weeks about, every day of crying. And every night I'd go to the graveyard on the way home. One day God said to me, in literally, almost in an audible voice, "Let him go. He's with me. He's all right." Last time I went to the graveyard, because the voice of God spoke to me, and it changed my heart. And it took the pain. Does it still affect you? Yeah, it still can affect me. If I focus on that, so I focus on Christ. Exactly. And there's a hope in that, and I know for a fact that I will one day be restored. We'll have a relationship again for all eternity. So I look to that. Amen. But it's a work of God. God does those. He's the one who heals. He's called the balm of Gilead. Amen. 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 So listen, come on up, guys. Anybody else before we... Hallelujah. Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Look at this. Look at this. All our sisters. Oh. Right here, sister. Very good. I want you to know something. Our prodigal sister has returned. Praise God. I've been wanting to say that the whole service. So I got... Yeah, I know. All right. Praise God. Father, we bless this bread as a symbol of the body of the Lamb. We thank you for it, Father, and all who partake of it, partake of that glorious life. In Christ Jesus, we pray. Amen. Please come on forward. Hallelujah. Bless you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he sat at dinner with his disciples. Now, sometimes we forget that they just lived life like we do. They had dinner, went to bed at night, went to sleep, got up in the morning, had breakfast, had lunch, went about their daily business. And so it was just a normal dinner for them at this point, but it was just before Christ went to the cross. And he sat with them and he was trying to figure out a way to show them what he was about to go through and what was going to happen. And the importance of it is to them. Sometimes we just do these things and we forget that there's real people there going through real difficulties in life, going through battles. And Jesus was trying to remind them, listen, I know what you're going to go through, but if you will do this, it'll bring you a peace to help you to get through the battle. He took the bread and he blessed it and he gave thanks to the Father for it. And then he broke it and he said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Each and every time you partake of this, do it in remembrance of me. See, what he was trying to get them to focus on wasn't so much of the death and the burial, but the resurrection. He said, you're going to go through things, but God's going to bring you through it after you have suffered a while, and he's going to establish you. He's going to bring you out of it, and you're going to be stronger than when you went into it. Jesus came out stronger out of that grave than he did before. He came out a new creation. Before Christ, you were one way. When you were born again and you became a new creation, you became stronger. And there's so much power available to you right now if we just understand. And he wants you to remember this every time you sit at dinner, every time you sit at lunch, every time you sit at breakfast. Remind yourself of this fact. How much God has done for you and given to you to live a good and godly life. Let's receive it now in Jesus' name. Then there's the lie of the devil. He'll constantly remind you of what you've done wrong. But Jesus took the cup. If this is the cup of the new covenant, the shedding of my blood for the remission of sin. He said in 1 John, if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you. Do not allow sin or sin consciousness to take authority over you in your life. Take the cup. Remember that Jesus dealt with your sin once and for all. If you do miss the mark, if you do sin, just confess it before God and say, Lord, I messed up. Forgive me. And he's faithful and just to forgive you. But you have to do that. And constantly, as you sit down, you take a cup of water. If you take a cup of milk, if you take a cup of coffee, just give God the glory. Say, thank you, Lord. This reminds me I'm cleansed. I'm righteous. Amen. In Jesus' name, receive it. Thank you, Lord. the kids come on up here, our little chillin. Amen. The physically kind, not the mentally or spiritually. The physically. The physical little chillin. I know we're called to come to him as a little child, but that's in our faith and trust in him. Amen. Because it is Mommy's Day, so we want to bless you. Put it up there. Amen. And our young'uns are going to hand them out. All right? Oh, boy. All right. Hey, yo. You ready?
Yeah.
All women. Of course. Everybody. You know the difference between a man and a woman, right?
Yeah.
Don't give it to the men. Give them to the women. All the sisters in Christ. Amen.
Are these real?
Yes, they are real. Please make sure to give one to... Hallelujah. Careful now. Don't break them. Don't... Well, just if... Here you go. Take two. Here, take two. Come here. Here you go. All right? Just, you get another one? Here you are. You got two? Praise God. We got more up here, so if you need more... There you go. Good job, guys. Hallelujah. I don't know why I'm handing them out. You guys can get these yourselves. Hallelujah. Just to bless you. Just to... All right, that's it. One more. There you go. We're out of them. Did everybody get one? Amen. Amen. These are just to signify that you are a flower in God's garden. Amen. You're a beautiful flower. Jesus is called the Rose of Sharon. He's called the Lily of the Valley. You got carnations. Because you're special. Amen? Glory to God. You all done? Thank you. I got some. Amen. Everybody got them? All set. Hallelujah. Huh? We got any great grandmothers? Great. Wow. Look at this. Now what? No. Oh, we got one more. We got 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 more. Thank you. Thank you. Oop, another one. We got more. Thank you. All right. Word of great grandmother again. Wow. Great grandmother, huh? Yeah, wow. You get extra because you're just great. That's all. We have a great-great-grandmother. Who? Are you a great-great? Oh, just a great. Just great. Amen. Okay. Praise God. Well, we got a couple free ones here. I'm not keeping them. Let's close in prayer. And Father, we thank you, Lord, for today. We bless you, Father. We thank you for our sisters, Lord, in Christ. Father, to us, they are a blessing. Such a blessing. We thank you for them, Lord. And Father, we ask for a double portion blessing on their lives today and every day of their life. Lord, we just recognize today that they are a gift from you. And we thank you for those gifts. We bless you, Father. I pray a blessing on all that are here today, Lord.